Please take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 and also the book of Daniel chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and Daniel chapter 1. Ezekiel 14:14 says, though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord. We've already talked about Noah and Job. Today we'll be talking about Daniel. And I would dare say that the majority of you watching could probably do a very good job of presenting this thought of Daniel and the lion's den, because it is a well-known story. But we'll be reading from 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to look into your holy word. We thank you for these thoughts that Peter gives concerning the trial of our faith, even the salvation of our souls. Lord, we pray that if one is watching here today that doesn't know thee as Savior, that this would be the day that they would give their heart and soul to you. And Lord, for those who know Christ as their Savior, may they be living a life that brings honor and glory to you. And that at the trial of their faith, may they remain strong, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And with thanksgiving, amen. Being much more precious than of gold. One doesn't normally think of trials as precious, but the Bible tells us that the trial of our faith in Jesus Christ, brings honor and glory and praise to him. Might be found, the Bible says, unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Won't it be marvelous to know that when we stand before our Lord, we remained faithful, no matter what came our way? It says here also, there in verse 8, whom having not seen, ye love. I hope you love the Lord. You know, there are so many things that are calling out to us today. So many things that are being advertised and so many things that are being promised. But I hope you don't put them in front of the Lord. We shouldn't be serving idols. We should not have other gods before the one true God. And it says, having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable. What brings joy into your life? Well, I hope the number one thing that brings joy is the opportunity to serve the Lord, to come before his presence with singing, to honor him by our lifestyle. In verse 33 of Hebrews 11, that great Hall of Fame chapter, Daniel is not found by name, but in action. And it says, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Stopped the mouths of lions. Daniel, here is a man who stood firm in his faith. He wasn't a young man. He wasn't in middle age. In fact, most Bible commentaries would tell you he was in his 80s. which tells us that no matter what period of time we are in our life, our faith can be put to the test. And if yours is being put to the test even now, I hope that you are remaining strong for the cause of Christ. Daniel chapter 1, if you would, please. Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1, and we'll begin reading at verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah. Now, remember, Israel has had a civil war. 10 tribes became known as Israel, and then there were the two southern tribes, that of Judah and Benjamin. And Jehoiakim was now the king of Judah. And it says, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, that he came under Jerusalem and besieged it. In other words, they were brought their army and they wanted the king of Jerusalem and they wanted Jerusalem as theirs. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. The Lord did it. The Lord said, enough is enough, Judah. You and Benjamin have drifted away from the Lord. You did not learn from the experience of the 10 northern tribes who have been in captivity for some 200 years under the Assyrians and then later the Babylonians. But you have gone after their way of serving idols and false gods. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Hashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Now, I'll be honest with you. If I had lived in Daniel's day, I would not have been one of those they would have called. I was not one with great understanding and cunning and knowledge and the ability to learn. I mean, it just wasn't my strong point. But that doesn't mean God cannot still use us. In this case, Nebuchadnezzar wanted smart, intelligent people to be in his government. And verse 5 says, and the king appointed them a daily portion of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof, they might stand before the king. Now, you get the picture. These men were going to be taken, and for 3 years, they would have a special diet. They would be taught so they could be used in the future. And verse 6 says, among these were the children of Judah, Daniel. First one listed, Daniel. He was one who was chosen because he was smart, intelligent, and was able to stand before the king in a right way. But Daniel said, I can't eat what you are going to give me. I am a Jew, and I have the dietary needs of a Jew. And in verse 8 it says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. He made a choice. And his choice as a young man would still be one that he would choose as an older man. What we need are young men and women who choose God to serve him faithfully, to stand up for the God of the universe. Point number one, we read here of Daniel's integrity. His integrity. Let's go to Daniel chapter 6 now, if you would, please. Daniel chapter 6, and we'll see his integrity. Verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. Nebuchadnezzar is gone, Belshazzar is gone, and now we have Darius. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should not have damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." They could find no occasion against him, no fault. He stood in his integrity, even as Job. As men and women of God, we must have integrity. And Daniel had integrity. He was well cared for by Darius. But unfortunately, we find that 122 different leaders didn't like Daniel. Was it because he was a Jew? Could be. Was it because he was faithful and honest? Could be. But all we know for sure is that he found favor in the eyes of the king and that he was a man of integrity. At point number two, we find Daniel's steadfastness. Let's begin reading at verse 6. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said unto him, "King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any man, of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Therefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Darius, what are you thinking? I mean, these men have come to you and they begin to pat you on the back and tell you how good you are. And now they're going to make a decree that says that nobody can ask any petition of a deity or of a person except you for 30 days. For 1 month, Darius, you're the man. Nobody can ask anything of anybody. Now, my personal thought is, Darius, where's Daniel? Why aren't you looking for his advice? So that no harm comes to the king, no damage, as it says there in one of the verses, verse 2. Why aren't you being smart about this, Darius? Oh, yeah, we all have our soft spot, don't we? And he had one. They patted him on the back and said, "Hey, this is really good. Look at all these men here that agree." And Darius bought it, hook, line, and sinker. But Daniel was steadfast. Can I ask you a question? What if we were put in that situation? That for 30 days we could not pray to the Heavenly Father. that we could not beseech our God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, would we say, well, it's only 30 days. What's the big deal? Or would we say, 30 days that I can't pray? Are you kidding me? Would we be steadfast in our faith? Point number three, Daniel's suffering. Daniel probably, from his teen years, when he purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the king's meat, and it end up costing all those that were chosen not to get the king's meat, but to have to eat the lentils and beans, etc. He had probably become the target of many attacks due to his faith in the Lord Jehovah. And now his faith is being put to the test once again. Pray and be thrown into the lion's den. Let's begin reading now at verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake unto the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petitions three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persian is that no decree or statute which the king establisheth may be changed. That Daniel. Can I ask, what if it was fill in the blank, that, and put your name there? Would you have been willing to stand for the Lord? Would you have been willing to suffer the persecution that would come? Would you have been willing to say the Lord first and foremost, no matter the cost? In chapter 3, where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were put to the test, they said, and accused the Jews. There are certain Jews that have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. As one told me following the morning service, that our spiritual enemy goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. May I say this? We need to stand true to our Lord. Darius knew he had been played as a fool. He knew what had happened. They had searched for his soft spot and found it. And suddenly it all became very clear. Daniel was going to die. The one he had put in charge of all of the others, they had conspired against him. And now, let's see what's going to happen. Verse 16. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Daniel's suffering. Which brings us to point number four, Daniel's deliverance. Begin reading now at verse 18. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste under the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God able to deliver thee from the lions? In your mind's eye, can you see the king disturbed all night, tossing and turning? And then very early in the morning, probably couldn't wait any longer, he runs with those that were his attendants to the lion's den. They all knew where he was going. And I think even the other people in charge probably went with him. They didn't want Daniel to have survived. They wanted Daniel to have been eaten. That's what they wanted. But let's look at verse 21. Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. The king is probably raising his hands, waving for excitement. Well, at the other time, the princes and presidents suddenly are thinking, oh no, this can't be happening to us. Verse 22, my God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocence was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Daniel's deliverance. Truly, Daniel's faith was put to the test, and it brought praise and glory to the God of the universe. Now, we may not have to be put to the test of being thrown into the lion's den. But how about standing up for the Lord when you are at a restaurant and the food has been brought? Are you going to bow and pray? My wife and I, as we returned from the Smoky Mountains with our granddaughter, Samantha, stopped at a Chick-fil-A in Kentucky. And we wanted to stop and eat. And we know that one is being built over here on Hall Road, and we look forward to that. And so we stopped at the exit that Donna's phone said we could find a Chick-fil-A. And sure enough, there it was. And the traffic waiting in line wrapped around the restaurant once and a second time. And I told Donna, I'm not waiting an hour. No, I want to eat at Chick-fil-A. I'm not going to wait. And so we drove further into Kentucky, and another Chick-fil-A restaurant was found. And we got in line, and people were taking our orders outside of the building, ahead of the normal area. And we ordered macaroni and cheese, three of them for each of us, and each of us got the chicken finger type meal, and boy, was it delicious. We enjoyed it. Did you know that the number one fast food restaurant in America is Chick-fil-A? What's special about that? Well, that's in 6 days a week, because they're not open on Sunday. In honor of the Lord. You know, I believe this, that godly men and women can make a stand for our Lord. It may cost us something, yes. But we should rather seek the praise of God over the praise of man. Here we find that Daniel was delivered because he put his, when his faith was put to the test, he remained faithful. Notice verse 23. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no matter of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. He believed in his God. Now, before we get too excited, hundreds, yea, thousands of Christians died when they were fed to the lions during the time of Rome. Now, you say, well, why was Daniel saved? To show that the Lord can. Why weren't the others? To show that there were those that, no matter the cost, were willing to stand true for the Lord. Now, I must admit, I do not want to have to be put to that type of a test. But I believe that our faith is being put to the test today. We are being put to the test to remain faithful to the belief that there is a creator God, that we don't believe in the lie of evolution, that we don't believe in the humanism of today's world, that we don't believe in the so-called political correctness of our society, but that we believe biblically. And may I encourage you, if you have not already sent in your ballot, that on Tuesday that you will vote biblically, that this is the right thing to do when our faith is put to the test. And Daniel's faith was blessed. But Daniel's allegiance to God was also honored. Verse 24. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel,